Friday, the 5th of December, Fest Kislev, Rabbi Yitzchok Ziskind, Chinuch learned from our Avos and Imahos.
Good morning. To share a few ideas that you can see of the way that the Avos and Imahos from a Chinuch, their children, and the benefits that we have of that today. Just interestingly, I came across interesting notes of something that Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel said. He says, when God told Avram to offer up his son, whom you love, Avram mistakenly thought God was referring to Ishmael. How was such a mistake possible? Asked Reb Nosson Tzvi. When Avram had long since chased Ishmael out of his home, we must say that Ishmael benefited as much from being chased away as Yitzchok benefited from being drawn close. Both became elevated, one from separation and the other from closeness, until they were both equally beloved. Quite an interesting thing. Very hard to know what to do, but it's the responsibility of parents to the best of their ability, and with Shatav Ishmael, to understand what kind of chinuch each child needs. It's a general chinuch that one can have in a home, and there's a specific for each child, and one needs Shatav Ishmael to know how to handle it. See here that Avram, with advice of course of Sarah, sent Ishmael away and was matzliach with Ishmael in that particular way. I was Zoicha, my father, Avishalom. He was a very disciplined person, and I was brought up in a little town in South Africa called Benoni, and we were the only Shomer Shabbos family. And as a little child, I had to sit next to him in shul, and all my friends were playing football outside the whole time the shul was in progress. And I used to cry. So I also want to go and play. And he said, better you cry now than I cry later. And I thank him every day of my life for that way in which he was mechanech. Sometimes hard to be kind. What I'd like to share with you today is a few examples that I've heard over the years about the way in which each of the Shvatim, some of the Shvatim, were brought up in terms of what they needed from their father, needed from their mother. We find that in the first of the Shvatim born, Reuven, that when he was born, his mother called him Reuven, and the Pasuk says, because Reu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saw my predicament, and she felt that she was hated, even though the Pasuk says that Yaakov loved Rochel more than Leah, so it means he loved Leah, but Leah felt hated, it says she felt hated. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up her womb, and so she called that first child Reu Vain. But Chazal found it necessary, Rashi brings, that to give another explanation to the name. And they say that in the name she was saying, Re'u ba bein beni, leven chami. See the difference between my son Reuven and the son of my father-in-law. The father-in-law was Yitzchok, and who was the other son of her father-in-law? Esav. What happened? Shemocher habchoyra le Yaakov. Esav sold his firstborn right to Yaakov. And Reuven never sold his birthright. He never gave up his birthright. It was just taken away from him. Veloy ir'er alov. And he didn't protest. Ela shebikash lehoitzi min haboer. But he made the effort to take him out of the pit. Whereas what happened with Esav, even though he sold the bechor, says Esav determined in his heart that he would kill Yaakov. And so in Reuven's name, Reu ma bein beni, see the difference between my son So she had a certain insight in terms of giving him the name, because we know that a name defines a person. And how was it possible, of all the brothers, that Reuben was the one that saved Yosef's life? When the brothers judged in terms of their perception that Yosef was a threat to the future of Klal Yisrael, that he was attempting to do what Esav wanted to do, and they determined that they should get rid of him, and they sat as a Sanhedrin and they took a decision, and Reuben, the one, had the most to lose. Perhaps if Yosef would be out the way, perhaps he, Reuben, would get back his bechor. Perhaps something like that could happen. And yet he, against his own self-interest, being mevatel himself to something that he had received, and it seems he received it from his mother. And Rabbi Michal Twersky explains, that for Reuben to be able to do such a thing, it means that his whole life, his mother was preparing him for it. Because realistically, Leah understood her position. Although she was married to Yaakov first, this was only in response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to her tefillah. We know that she had soft eyes, one of the rare occasions in the Torah where we have a physical description of a person. And Chazal tell us that means that she was crying. What was she crying and davening? To be saved from her zivug, the one who it was called out 40 days before she was born, that this was the person she should marry, Esav. And Esav had become a Rosha, and she was davening to be saved from marrying this Rosha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her in a complicated way, with Lavan tricking Yaakov. And so she came into the marriage under a cloud. And realistically speaking, she understood that really Rochel was the one who was the real zivug of Yaakov. And what would be in the future? Even though her son was born as the Bechor, she anticipated that he'd one day be faced with the fact that really Yosef, who was the firstborn of Yaakov, would be the one that really was the Bechor. And what do you do with a child who later in life is going to be faced with an enormous challenge? In a sense, an unfair challenge. What did Reuben do? He was born, he was the Bechor. But the reality was that his mazel was to be that he would lose the Bechor. And so this incredible woman, Leah, prepared him for that moment, prepared him for that station in life where he would have to deal with what would seemingly be an unfair thing, to give up the Bechor, which was rightfully his in terms of him being born first, because of the true circumstances within which he found himself. And this is taken further by Shlomo HaMelech, who brings in Shir HaShirim, HaDudoyim Nois Nimrayach, the mandrakes, jasmine seeds emit fragrances, Ba'al Pesochenu Kol Megodim, and at all our doors were all kinds of delicacies. And the Medrash explains, what does it mean, HaDudoyim Nois Nimrayach? It means this refers to Reuben, who rescued Yosef. Ba'al Pesochenu Kol Megodim, and at our doors are all kinds of delicacies, this refers to the Ner Hanukkah, that the adornment of the house is spiritually the Dudoyim on one side, and on the other side is the Menorah. And what is this relationship between Hanukkah, we're already in the month of Kislev, and Reuben? What has Reuben all of a sudden got to do with this? So I saw an interesting note from the Sfas Emes where he says, the interesting thing about the Ness of Hanukkah obviously is the fact that the oil burns. It was only supposed to burn for one day, and it burned for 8 days. And the whole idea of Hanukkah is it gives off the light. But the interesting thing, how does it give off the light? The oil gives off the light by burning out of existence. As the oil goes out of existence, as it's absolutely, in a sense, Mesilas Nefesh, it gives itself up. Through giving itself up, it gives off light. And where does this capacity of the Chashmonaim and everybody associated with the miracle of Hanukkah and the idea of Hanukkah, how can we give off light? How does a person give off light? When a person is Mesiras Nefesh means to actually give up what could be rightfully yours, to surrender what is yours. As we find with Moshe Rabbeinu, that when he was challenged, he was given the task at the burning bush, he didn't want to take the task, and that was because he was concerned that he wouldn't be able to relate to the whole of Klal Yisrael. In a sense, at that moment, he was Mesiras Nefesh in a sense that he wasn't going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because the Medrash said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, because you have negotiated with me for 7 days and refused to go, I will tie your wings. Very strange idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tie your wings. What does it mean to tie your wings? It means that the bird is perfectly capable of flying, but there's an external factor that doesn't let it do what it's capable of doing. And the Shem Yishmo brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you have made this Mesiras Nefesh, you didn't go down and take out the elite of Klal Yisrael, and so the whole of history unfolded with the Chet HaEgel because of the Erev Rav and the all-inclusive of the whole of Klal Yisrael. But the end result is that you've now got a Klal Yisrael that is not Zoyche for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the one who'll take them into Eretz Yisrael. Because if you'll take them into Eretz Yisrael, it will be a disaster. They're not on a level to sustain life in Eretz Yisrael. And when a time will come that they won't behave properly, if you took them in, they'd have to be there for eternity, and I'd have to destroy them. I wouldn't be able to send them into Golus. And if you'd build the Beis HaMikdash, it would be for eternity. I wouldn't be able to take my wrath out on the Beis HaMikdash. I'd have to destroy Klal Yisrael. So you are perfectly fit to go into Eretz Yisrael. I have to tie your wings and limit you. And that's Mesiras Nefesh. And this Mesiras Nefesh is the chinuch that Leah gave to Reuven because of the reality of what his challenge would be in life. And he was Matzliach. At the moment when it was Yosef was going to be put to death, he was the one who intervened and saved against all his interests. And he became the example for all time of what it is to act with Mesiras Nefesh. Another son, interesting, is Yehuda. Now, Yehuda, she called him Yehuda because he was the fourth son, and she said, Apam oide es Hashem. Why did she say that? Because there were four Imohes, they knew they were going to be 12 Shvatim, and she already had three sons, and this fourth son which she had was more than what she felt she deserved. And so she built into his name an appreciation, a way of thanking, a way of admitting that one gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than what one deserves. And therefore one has a tremendous HaKadosh HaToiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Midah of Yehuda is the Midah that we live with today. The ideal person is Yosef. And interestingly, Yosef's chinuch, the main point of his chinuch, came from his father. We find that when he was sent off to the brothers, his father was learning with him the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. And we know that years later, when the brothers came down to Egypt, and Yosef wanted his father to come down to Egypt, that Yosef Yaakov wouldn't believe the brothers, but Kasher or Es Hagoles Ashish Shalach Yosef, that when he saw the wagons which Yosef had sent, then he believed that Yosef was alive in Mitzrayim. And of course it's a play on the words Agolos and Egla Rufa, because learning Egla Rufa, and he sent Agolos. It's very nice in terms of the wording, but what's the logic behind it? How can one understand that because the word for wagons is Agolos, then, and he was learning the parsh of Egla Rufa, that this convinced him that Yosef was alive? So I heard an idea many years ago that what is the parsh of Egla Rufa? The parsh of Egla Rufa shows the responsibility that a manhigim have for the klal. When this dead body, this murdered person was found, it's the leaders, the tzaddikim, the leaders of the community that have to come and say, after they do the Egla Rufa, that our hands have not shed this blood. Who would think that they were the ones that murdered this person? But because they are the leaders of their particular community, they're responsible for the community. And so at the heart of the mitzvah of Egla Rufa is the sense of responsibility that a manig has for the klal. And when Yosef had these various dreams, the first dreams, the brothers were angry with him because they thought he had ideas of megalomania. But afterwards, after the second set of dreams, Avi Shomaras Adobor, they saw that the father took the dream seriously, which means, and then they were jealous, their hatred turned to jealousy. And we see therefore that Yaakov saw that Yosef is going to be a leader. Yosef is going to be a leader of Klal Yisrael. He's going to be a leader in his time. So he wasn't just teaching him, happened to come across that parsha of Egla Rufa, he was teaching him the message of Egla Rufa. He was mechanech him for what his task in life would be. Now, so we don't know what happened to him. He vanished. Brothers came with a story. And many years later they come along and they say, Yosef is alive in Mitzrayim. And now he sees the wagons which Yosef sent. Now if we look at the pasuk, Yosef didn't take the initiative. Paro sent the wagons. Paro said to Yosef, take these wagons and send them down to bring your family. And the idea that I heard was, it says when he saw the wagon, la seis oisoi, to carry him. The other place where we find la seis is where the Kohanim, or the Levim, carried the Aron HaKodesh. So there was something in the wagon, it was a dignified kind of wagon, perhaps it was even like a sedan chair, that Yaakov, who in his time was like the Aron HaKodesh in the time when we had the Mishkan. So when he saw the wagons that had been sent, he saw that there was a machshava in the quality of wagon that was sent to transport him back to Mitzrayim. And there was no way that a paro could think of such a thing. It had to be that Yosef was alive. Only Yosef would be able to appreciate the kovet that had to be given to him as the essence of Torah in his particular time. And so it must mean that Yosef had been machanech paro. If paro sent it, had to be that Yosef been machanech paro. So then he saw that the, what I have been teaching Yosef, Egla Rufa, which teaches him responsibility to have hashpoa on whatever kehillah, whatever community that he becomes in control of. He became a king in Mitzrayim. So he was machanech the Egyptians, he was machanech paro, how to treat, to give cover to somebody like Yaakov. So it means that when he saw the wagons, it wasn't just the words Egla Rufa and Agolos, it was the essence of what the message of Egla Rufa is, and he saw that his chinuch that he had given to Yosef had achieved Hatzlocha. Now, Yosef represents perfection. Tzadik Yesod Olham. And the descendant of Yehuda is David HaMelech Mashiach. And it says at the time, from Rabbi Waxman, that it's at the time when Vayigash Yehuda, when Yehuda stood up against Yosef, the Malachi HaShores came to see who would prevail. Would Yosef be Matzliach in being able to achieve perfection with his brothers? Or would it be a situation of busha and shame? And these are the two ways in which we could have Mashiach. One is we could have it because we deserve it, mamash, and then we would have really Mashiach ben Yosef in a pure form. But if we are not Matzliach and we don't deserve it, then we have to, in a way, have more than what we deserve, and that's Mashiach ben David. And David represents busha and cherpa his whole life. Everything about him, the way that he was born, the origins of his great-grandmother Ruth coming from the relationship between Lot and his daughters, the whole question of being a Moavi, the whole question of coming from the relationship between Yehuda and Tamar, and then coming through to Boaz, and the whole way of Boaz and Ruth, and Boaz giving the psak that a Moabit is kosher, and he was the one that married the Moabit, it left plenty space for Lashon Hara, plenty space for people to put a shame on Yosef's background. And that shame was so great that his father determined at a certain point that he wanted to clear up at least one son. He was concerned. Yishai, who was one of the few personalities that Chazal tell us never sinned, this righteous man. And so he made a whole arrangement with his shidcha that he would convert her, and the child would then have a child with her first, and the child would be converted, and so he would have relations with her instead of with his wife. And his wife heard about it. She switched to the shidcha, and David HaMelech was born. The Maisa was born from his father and his mother, but there was a shadow and a question whether is he a mamzer or not a mamzer. And people looked at David HaMelech as a mamzer, as a person who wasn't even fit to marry a Jewish woman because he came from Moab. He had all kinds of questions on about him. And then the whole episode with Bathsheba, and then the whole episode with his son Avshalom, and with his children, other children, all difficulties. And this is the model of coming from Yehuda. And what is the chinuch of Yehuda that his mother instilled into him, that went through and is in fact the determining circumstances that we find ourselves in today? It is this ability that in spite of shame, to be able to be moide and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the moment in Yehuda's life when he attained the potential greatness that he was prepared for by his mother in his name, Yehuda Pam Oides Hashem, was where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his bechira and made him turn aside to have relations with what looked like a harlot, that was Tamar, a righteous woman, and he had relations with her, and she became pregnant, and he was the Av Beis Din, he was the one who was sitting in judgment, and she had the simonim, and she didn't want to publicly declare that he was the one from whom she was pregnant, and she put the simonim in front of him, and she said, Hakerno, please identify, whoever it is that owns the simonim, let him identify himself. Hakerno. And these words rang in Yehuda's ears. And he remembered where he had, those words were used before, when the brothers had sold Yosef, and they dipped his cloak into blood. He'd taken the cloak to the father, and he said, Hakerno, please identify whose cloak this is. And yeah, all these years later now, Yehuda's salvation, Yehuda's chance to be able to be moide to something that he'd acted in an inappropriate way, although maybe at the time he thought he was doing the right thing, he had to now publicly in front of everybody stand up and admit, Sot komimeni, she's more righteous than me. So the midah of Apam Oides Hashem means that in the face of shame and busha, a person will stand up and still be Oides Hashem. So that midah is the midah of David HaMelech. It says in Tehillim, Mikimi me'afar dal bashpos evyon, you take me out of the garbage and the dust, and you raise me up to sit with the princes. This is the life that we lead now. This is the way of Klal Yisrael. Nothing that Klal Yisrael does will be seen in the world to be legitimate. We will always be shamed. We will always be seen as garbage. You even hear secular professors saying that the state of Israel is garbage. The Jewish people, they are garbage. Our lot in life is, until Mashiach, that we cannot get it right. We cannot solve the problem. The circumstances that we have to live with is in the circumstances of Mashiach ben David. Had Yosef been able to hold himself back long enough so that the brothers themselves would be able to understand what they'd done wrong to him, and he hadn't broken down and
had to embarrass them by saying, I knew you're safe, then we would have had a different situation. Then we would have got what we deserve. But Yosef failed at that time, and the brothers failed at that time, and the Metzias that we have now is being in the Metzias of Mashiach ben David. And that is, in spite of the shame, in spite of not being able to even answer the world for the behavior of our brothers and sisters, of course there are all circumstances that have brought it about, but we're in a situation today where it's very hard to give any kind of answer to the world. And if a person really looks at our situation, we are ashamed. But the middah of Yehuda, the middah of David, is that the middah of a lion, which jumps up. A lion doesn't deserve anything. Whereas the middah of Yosef is the middah of the ox, which works and deserves. The middah of the lion is, it just chaps. So we must just, we've got to know that our situation is, in spite of being Dal the Ashpos Evyon, we've got the potential from Yehuda instilled into him by his mother Leah, that we can rise up to heights, even though we don't feel that way, even though we feel that we are, Dovid HaMelech says he feels like a worm. We feel whatever our situation is, we're going to be Oide Hashem. We're going to rise up and do our best, and in spite of all the negativeness that is around us. So, in a sense, therefore, the Imohois and the Ovois instilled into the Shvatim a inheritance that we have, which is the makeup of our Midas, and if we study it carefully, it can stand us in tremendous stead. The idea of being Mesiris Nefesh, where necessary, for other Jews, for anybody else, embodying the idea of Malochim, when they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each one for himself. Ze nosnim reshus ze el ze. V'kulam makabli malahem, o machus shamayim, ze mi ze. So the midah of Reuven, Mesiris Nefesh, to give up. And of course, as somebody who works for the JLE, I like to always present the idea that we've got tremendous responsibility to all our fellow Jews who don't know, and it requires a certain Mesiris Nefesh on our part to give up time and resources to provide for them what they never received from their parents and so forth. So from Reuven, the Mesiris Nefesh, from Yehuda, the idea of being able to accept the shame wherever necessary, but not to be drowned by the shame, not to be pulled down by the shame, in spite of the shame, to be able to hakirno and pull ourselves out. And from Yosef, the sense of responsibility that we have as parents to our children, as leaders in the community, as those privileged, that privilege may be 10% or 5% of Klal Yisrael, who know at least what a Yid is, who know at least what Torah is. We've got a tremendous responsibility to all our brothers and sisters who don't know. Please God, we'll all in our own way be able to take from these ideas that we instilled through the chinuch of Ovos and Imois, and be able to be ever more effective in the way that we conduct ourselves. Thank you.